front of you to Hebrews chapter 10. Now today we're going to consider the duty, or better, the privilege of drawing near. That is central in our text, Hebrews 10:19-22. I want to read the passage again up to that phrase. Therefore, brothers, verse 19, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest, a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near. Now, to understand this privilege, we will cover what it means to draw near and the basis that he gives us for drawing near. So let's start with this first major point. What does it mean to draw near? And I'm going to just lay it out like this and work on it in pieces. To draw near means to seek holiness, promote one another in love, and to converse in that way, context, with God. So let's look at those three things. It means to seek holiness. The opening word of 10:19, therefore, kind of think about this for a little bit and get our orientation here. That word could be written with capital letters and put in bold print because it is a linchpin. Think of boxcars, boxcar, linkage, and then another boxcar. It's a linkage or a linchpin between the two major sections of the book of Hebrews. There are many therefores before this one. That's a word that occurs 21 times, I guess I got noted here, in the book of Hebrews. There are many of them before this one in 10:19, and many come after it. But this one, so to speak, does double duty like none of the others. It has a special double function. I can call it a regular function and a transitional function. It has the regular function of introducing a conclusion within the unfolding paragraphs of the letter. Another conclusion's coming. Here it comes. Therefore, does that in a regular way. It also has the transitional function of introducing all the remaining conclusions of the book, of the letter to the Hebrews. The remaining conclusions make up the application section of the book. So we have the boxcar doctrinal section, the linkage, and the boxcar of the application or exhortation section of the book. Now our text for today, 19-22, gives the first application as you move, swing on this linchpin. I don't know, maybe now we need a hinge, as you swing on this hinge over into the application section. The first application is draw near. And let me read it again, but I'm going to read these verses in little tiny pieces. Look at what he says in verse 19. Therefore, since, verse 21, and since, verse 22, let us draw near. Typically for our author, this is not something totally new. He has already given this exhortation in 4:16. Do you remember that? Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So the parallel shows that he exhorts us in 10:22 to draw near to the throne, to Christ and to God. Now the linchpin, therefore, let's just kind of get our bearings on this, shows us that the previous paragraph opens the door to this application and to all other applications yet to come. And in the previous paragraph, we have a discussion of the sanctifying effectiveness of the sacrifice of Christ. Attention to sanctification is an appropriate way to open the door to the details of the sanctified life that we find in the rest of the book from 10:19 to 13:25. The author tells us that our sanctification is an accomplished fact and a present reality. We have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. He has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. The previous ending paragraph of the previous boxcar. Understandably then, we encounter matters of holiness in the application section now before us in 10:19 to 22. Notice these words. Enter the holy places. The new and living, by a new and living way, with hearts sprinkled clean and bodies washed. We're in the sanctification territory now in its application. A point to remember as we go forward in the book of Hebrews is that everything yet to come in the book comes under the umbrella of sanctification, the being sanctified. Therefore, as a first step, drawing near is a vital part of the process of sanctification. The duty is to draw near to God, who is holy, 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 to enter through into, enter the holy places into the presence of the holy God. What a privilege this is, despite the fact that in ourselves there is no good thing and we are defiled and we are unholy, our Lord encourages us to come to Him. We are to draw near by a new way with the awareness that we have been washed and that we come sparkling clean. We have many needs, especially spiritual needs. We need spiritual strength, for example, to overcome our weaknesses, and He bids us come into the Holy of Holies to receive grace and mercy to help in time of need. And thus, because we are washed, clean, perfected, sanctified, then the recognition of our failures, that deep recognition in our hearts has nothing to do with judgment. It is not for fearful exposure that we enter, or with fear that we enter the holy place or the holy places. It is only for progress in sanctification. We come seeking holiness. That is one part of drawing near, and we can do so with no fear. Though we are sinners and we know we need cleansing, we're being sanctified, but we have the perspective that we have been sanctified, and now He bids us come into His presence. All right, so that's part one of drawing near. We come, it means to seek holiness. Come into the holy place, draw near. To draw near means to promote one another in love. This is the second part of this. Notice, let me read across the passage again in this way, just accenting certain words. Therefore, brothers, we have certain things. Let us draw near. The use of the term brothers is endearing and speaks to the warm family bond of brothers and sisters bound to Christ as His covenant family. Remember, He said in chapter 2, the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all one. That is why He is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters in the congregation, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. Then He speaks to brothers, sisters, we, and us. shows that this duty includes the preacher with the family listening to preaching, the writer with the family reading his sermon. And thus there is a corporate church family dimension to drawing near. It includes the one anothering principle. Therefore, drawing near to God in pursuit of holiness into the holy place is not something that the Christian does on his own without contact with and interaction with the preacher and other family members. That's clear just a little bit later in this chapter. He says, let us consider, verse 24, how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, we discussed this principle to some degree when we covered what it means to go beyond regarding the laying on of hands. Remember in chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, in the ordination of pastors. Let's briefly consider how we go beyond the elements of pastoral ordination again. In a word, conversation on Scripture with one another and with the pastor is on the top of the list for going beyond a mere sketchy understanding of the laying on of hands. You help me transcend my ordination by the laying on of hands in practical ways when you share your needs with me for prayer, when you seek my counsel. This is a part of the one anothering picture of going into the holy places to draw near to God. You seek my counsel, converse with me on the Scriptures, and use me as a resource. Now, these things prompt me forward in fulfilling my calling with joy, and this is for your advantage, as Hebrews 13:17 says. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So, you know, in this light, I want to ask some questions. Who then are the people, you know, professing Christians we're talking about, and the churches, our church and the churches, who then are the people who are so fit and strong, so advanced in holiness, that they do not need the one anothering, the brother, sister, pastor, one anothering of the church for themselves? Where are those kind of people? Who might they be? Who are the members of the body that are so strong in holiness that they will not give of themselves to assist others who are in need of one anothering love? Where are those people? Who could they be? By God's ordination, nothing can take the place of the church family. Without it, you lack the support, the staying power, and the spur that comes to each member from healthy interaction. You cannot neglect the corporate family framework of sanctification and expect growth in holiness instead of stagnation and coldness of heart. And even more significantly, you do not, you cannot draw near to God in the holy places without seeking holiness by means of God-appointed family mutuality. We can't kid ourselves about this. You operate at cross purposes with nearest to God if you try to approach Him without or in neglect of brother, sister, pastor, one another. Nearness to God goes hand in hand with nearness to His family. You know, this is just in the writer of Hebrews, like what our Lord had said, you love God and the neighbor. You cannot love God if you do not love your neighbor. And who loves God that hates the brother. Those kind of things in our Lord's teaching and in the Gospels and in the writing of John. All right, so we have two things so far in our answer to what does it mean to draw near? It means you're going into the holy place. You're seeking holiness. You're going somewhere. You're going to God, right? We said you seek holiness by one anothering. We let us one anothering love to converse with God. Therefore, brothers, we have let us draw near. It's kind of going across the text again. There is a remarkable contrast to the distance from God projected by Old Testament rituals here. The preacher uses the language of the old structure that allowed only the high priest to enter into God's presence, and you know, only once a year. Coming into the holy places is an act of worship in which we approach God in his very presence. This is distinct from the fact, I think we all know, it's distinct from the fact that he is present everywhere. But I'd like to talk about that a little bit. Think about God is present everywhere. Then how do we enter into his presence in light of a passage like Psalm 139? Listen to these words, which are interesting. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall your hand lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. Well, can the darkness hide me? No, the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as day. And this is, so I praise you, he says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, this is a marvelous text. Now, to be sure, we can never escape his presence, and that fact is actually marvelous good news. Because, as we could say it to the Lord, like we're speaking like the psalmist, you hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Like he's right there present with us, and he puts his hand upon you. The laying on of hands idea again in another dimension. And he said, no matter how fast I travel on the wings of the morning, the sunlight moving out into the Mediterranean Sea, no matter how fast I travel, no matter how far I go out to the uttermost parts of the sea, at the speed of light or whatever, God is there, but he is there not to smash me with his fist, but to hold on to me and to hold me up. For he says, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. That's a marvelous thought of God's presence. Well, how then can we enter his presence? How can we draw near to him when we are never away from him? Well, to enter his presence is to establish a line of communication. It means to enter into conversation with God in which he listens to what we have to say. We have his ear. He attends to our needs. We need to talk things over with him. Also, he communicates with us through his word preached by his servants and applied by his Spirit. Now, we can gain some perspective on this point by further reflection on God's call. Let's think about that again, some thoughts we've had before on this. In our sinfulness, we strayed like wandering sheep. Think of this language. We strayed away from God. We left our Father like a prodigal to go and do our own thing in a far country. But we never left God's presence. We left him. We went away. We left the Garden of Eden, etc., etc., but we never left his presence. We merely went our way, suppressing the truth we knew of him. We went about our business, not noticing God. But then in saving grace, he called out to us, got our attention, and introduced himself to us. He was always there, but we had to meet him. That could only take place when he drew us to himself by revealing himself and establishing a line of communication with us. Now, we know God and we cannot unmeet him. Amen, and thank God for that. Nevertheless, because our journey is not yet complete, we must direct our attention and focus our thoughts for conversation with God. We must establish a line of communication by calling out to God to get his attention and to reveal ourselves to him and to reveal to him our deepest needs. So this is the idea of entering into conversation with the Lord, is entering into his presence and worship. Now, distilled to the simplest terms, drawing near refers to prayer and study of Scripture. Of course, it means to pray to God and to hear from him. But there is more to it than what first meets the eye. We need things from him. And he bids us come to his throne to receive grace and mercy to help in times of need. Although we are so needful, and this is such a reassuring word, there is a greater need. Perhaps our greatest need staring us in the eyes. We need communication with God. We need conversation with our Heavenly Father. We need fellowship in which we earnestly, openly, candidly, and lovingly pour out our souls to the Lord and carefully listen for his word of comfort. Drawing near in pursuit of holiness and in the context of family love means that we wrestle with the Lord. We wrestle with him in prayer like Jacob did. Remember Jacob said, this is Genesis 32, I don't know if you remember him at Peniel, and he said, wrestling with the Lord, I will not let you go unless you bless me. This is during the wrestling match. Now if we draw near like Jacob did at Peniel, then we will be people who strive with God and with men. Striving after holiness and striving after one anothering love go hand in hand with striving after God. You know, if we are drawing nearer to God, we're drawing nearer to one another. If we're drawing near to God in the holy place, we're pursuing holiness, we're entering into the holy place. It can only all go together. It's like an all or nothing thing. To draw near is to seek holiness with the family in conversation with God. Now that is, I find that a remarkable way to think through the drawing near. We could say, well, it means to pray. We just had that one word for it. But I think there's much more here, and we need to ponder the fullness of what it means into the holy place with one another, into conversation with God. Now that is a such an astounding thing that we may ask the question of the basis, and he gives it. He does give it, and I'll spend less time on this, but what is the basis of drawing near? I mean, if you think about it, sometimes our fellowship with God and with others becomes out of joint. There are times when it is difficult to concentrate in meditation and prayer because we are in some way or another out of joint. Now, you may know where I'm getting that, why I'm using that phrase out of joint here. You recall that the Lord touched Jacob's hip socket and put it out of joint when they were wrestling at Peniel? And we all might ponder some of what that means. But Jacob persisted. He was, you know, it's sort of like, this isn't a fair match. This wrestling match, you know, the opponent is cheating. He just put my joint out. He just put me out of joint, and now we got to continue this match. But Jacob didn't complain. He just persisted and said, I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. Jacob persisted, and God blessed him with a new name. You know, this is the name Israel. That's where he got the name. You know what Israel means? Probably, but his new name means God strives. Thus, there is a dual message here. You find God's blessing by striving persistently in prayer, wrestling with the Lord for his blessing, and you find God's blessing because he strives with you to work out his plan and manifest his blessing. Now, if we limp, if we are out of joint and out of sorts at times, that is not because we have failed. It is because of God's working his victory in us. Sometimes you may limp into God's presence for conversation and limp away as well. Your very limping with things all out of joint is included in the process of your sanctification that God is working out. Thus, whether you are all out of joint or not all out of joint, draw near to God in the most holy place and do so in pursuit of holiness in a context of one anothering family love. Now, how can we do this? On what basis can we enter the most holy place? He gives us two reasons that are, in effect, encouragements. We draw near because we have confidence. We draw near because we have a great high priest. Consider the confidence here. It is not self-confidence. He says, since we have confidence, in verse 19 here, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, through his flesh, let us draw near. It's not self-confidence. Where's your confidence? It's in the blood of Christ. It's in the fact that he's like the curtain. There's a kind of comparison made to the curtain. It's not, the idea is that we're not to think, well, the curtain was torn, so his body was torn or something like that. I think it's just kind of an unusual way of working an analogy. But the idea is, how did the priest get through from the holy place to the most holy place? He had to go through the curtain. And you know that on the crucifixion, the day of the crucifixion, the curtain was rent from top to bottom, opened up, and now there's a new curtain. There's a new way, the new and living way. It's Christ. He is the way, because by his blood, he opened the way. And what he opened up was, when he split that curtain open, then the incense on the altar flows into the holy place, and there we have the delight of the Father, his delight in the sweet-smelling incense, the sweet-smelling aroma of acceptance and rejoicing in the acceptance of sinners. So we have confidence. The barriers have been taken away, not in ourselves, but in Christ, because he is the priest after the order of Melchizedek, and he lives in the power of an indestructible life. That's one of the encouragements. That's why he says, because you have confidence, and your focus is on those things. That's where your confidence is. Not self-confidence, but confidence in those things about him, the way in, the new and living way, that he is, and he opened up. Then draw near with one another, family mutuality, family one anothering, seeking holiness, even though you know you're not there yet. But you've been made holy on the cross, and you're heading for holiness and glory. You're not there yet, so you enter not for judgment, not for exposure, but for progress. You enter into the holy place and to fellowship with and converse with your Father in heaven and with the saints, your brothers and sisters. And then he gives another encouragement reason. Because we have a great high priest over the house of God. This second reason comes from meditation on the greatness of Christ. Remember, like we said, he is able to save to the uttermost. And so that's a dual meaning. It means to the uttermost is for all time and with completeness. Thus, our Lord's saving ability is complete and total, covering all time, all circumstances, and all our needs of all time and all circumstances. Accordingly, we know that Jesus is our perfect Savior, the great priest. So he calls him here our great priest. And he's perfect because he's a priest that lives forever, made a priest after the order of Melchizedek forever, because he is sufficient for the task, fitting that we should have a high priest, he says in 7, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. And he is the priestly offering. We have a great priest. This priest doesn't go in and have to even offer sacrifices for himself and do it just once a year and have to deal with all kinds of barriers and problems. But this priest is unstained and unspotted, and he becomes the very sacrificial victim. And he does that, taking our punishment on himself, bearing our punishment for our sins. So, you know, we don't have to fear exposure going into the holy place with all the holiness around us. We don't have to fear it. We go there for progress in sanctification, drawing near to one another and drawing near to our God. So because Jesus is our great high priest, and because of his greatness and perfection, because of his holiness and obedience to God, let us draw near together in pursuit of holiness. Well, that's the two main points we want to deal with. Let me just conclude with some very just pointed remarks. Therefore, we have the duty, yes, the privilege, of drawing near to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you see him, if you see his perfection, then you will desire him and draw near to God through him. He calls us to a nearness of fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He calls us to the privilege of the communion of the Spirit and the communion of the saints. We have access, and more than that, we have fellowship, friendship, and conversation. We have the blessing of a personal relationship with God. And since he draws near to us despite our sinfulness, then how much more ought we to draw near to him because of his holiness. So seek holiness with family, one anothering, in close conversation with God. Well, let me close with this doxology. Let us fall down before the majesty of the Lord Jesus, God the Son, who as our forerunner into the holy places accomplished our redemption. May the Spirit give us confidence to enter the most holy place in the Father's presence, and may he teach us to grasp more and more of what it means to have Jesus as our great high priest in the things of God. May he teach us to grasp what it means that he continues a priest forever in the power of an indestructible life. To the triune God be all glory, now and forevermore. Amen. Well, let's bow for a season of prayer. The privilege to draw near to God in the context of new temple worship in the corporate setting here in the body, to draw near to him and not afraid of our knowing our sinfulness, we don't come into holiness, into the context of holiness. Fearing exposure, we may be exposed, but we don't have to fear it. We're coming for progress. And what a privileged walk we have with our Lord. Well, I'd like to ask Brother Dan if you would begin our time with prayer, and then I'll wait on you and close our time.